Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Friday, May 26th. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Hey, guys.
Hey,
guys.
Hey, guys.
Starting off this morning with a little good news and a little bad news.
Lay it on us.
The good news, Turtle Man is not dead.
I saw that.
Turtle Man
is not
dead.
People are very passionate about Turtle Man.
Mike fucked up. Turtle Man is not dead. Turtle Man had a limb of a tree hit him in 2022 and caused some pretty serious injuries, and lots of rumors ran around the internet of about him dying, but he did not die. He has recovered. Don't know why we're not seeing him on television or featured film, being the gifted actor that he is, but hopefully he will make another appearance. The bad news, Tina Turner is no longer with us. We lost Tina Turner
legs ever
yesterday. She looked eternally young. I mean, she was in amazing shape her entire life.
So. I had her 45 private dancer.
Yeah.
Private dancer.
Yes.
Dancer for money.
Yeah.
Do what you want me to do.
That was before I knew about
What was
clothes.
The song from
Turner used to
Ike
beat
Turner
the
to
shit
beat
out of
ass. Yeah.
God dang, man. That movie was unreal.
From the Mel Gibson movie, the like apocalyptic Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Mad Max.
Mad Max movie. Well, I can't remember. We Don't Need Another Hero or something. My favorite. I also owe a thank you to all of those people who praised us for getting in front of the Meghan and Harry bullshit story about their near catastrophic car chase through New York City. Virtually every news outlet on the planet has now validated our position. We were out there before anyone, and I just want to thank Woody for being bold enough to demand that we cover that story.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
So thank you, Woody.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we're going to get into the news now, the crime news for today. And, wow, crazy.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Boom.
All right, so
that's an early interruption.
It's an early interruption, but y'all, this is important. And you know we support Corporal Sean Kelly and his family, right?
Yes.
So I got a request in from a lifer, and they have a new event that's coming up for him on Saturday, June 3rd. So I think it's early enough we can get it out there, but they asked us to promote it, and we know we're going to promote it. So on Saturday, June 3rd, 2023, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., at 941 Government Street, Denham Springs, Louisiana, they're having an event, the Bayou Gunslingers, DJ K-Jack, and Swamp Donkeys. It's a fundraiser benefit for Corporal Sean Kelly of the Denham Springs Police Department, who was critically injured in the line of duty on May 11, 2023. There'll be a $5 admission fee. They'll be selling plate lunches, including but not limited to jambalaya, pasta live, pulled barbecue chicken plates for $10 a piece. There'll also be live music from a few popular local bands, including the Clifton Brown Band, very good, Lance Woolley from the Hog Leg Band, and Ampersand, along with DJ Cack. And we'll also be having Kelly Stone performing the national anthem. There'll also be a dunk tank, bounce house, snowballs, face painting, and much more throughout the day. There'll be door prizes and live auctions, giving some amazing items. We'd like to see everyone there for a great cause. It would be a designated seating area for law enforcement partners and their families, bringing chairs and families, and planning on having a great time. Again, it's for a great cause. And all proceeds, even from the vendors, will be donated to Corporal Kelly and his family.
Amen.
Very good.
So y'all go out there and dream.
Are the Swamp Donkeys a band?
Yes.
Yeah.
They got a lot of bands.
It's a great cause, and I can promise you this: if I'm available, I will be there. So y'all come see us.
A Ponchatoula man accused of shooting three siblings during a family dispute at a trailer park was captured and arrested after fleeing into a wooded area. Casey Halliford, who was 31, was booked with three counts of attempted first-degree murder after the triple shooting, as well as the illegal discharge of a weapon. Of the three siblings that were shot, the Office of Holy Family Catholic Church in Port Allen says that Casey Halliford's brother, Ryan, is the former pastor and that he is on life support in ICU.
So he shot a priest?
Shot a priest who was his brother.
He's going straight to hell.
Yeah, Ryan Halliford is the current executive director of Mission Integration at St. Joseph's Academy in Baton Rouge,
which is where my niece and nephews
went. Yeah, if you're not familiar, if you're not from this area, that is the premier
girl school
in the state, probably. A Ponchatoula woman who fled with Halliford, who was 19-year-old Ariana Williams, also was arrested on three counts of principal to first-degree murder.
Louisiana Revised Statute 1427, same thing. She might as well.
That's right. If a principal simply means that you are as guilty as the person who pulled the trigger.
Absolutely.
The sheriff's office said deputies responded to reports of a shooting shortly after 11 a.m. at a trailer park on South Range Road in Ponchatoula. A caller reported hearing 15 gunshots and said a wounded man was lying on the road. Investigators said they learned during an argument with his family members that Halliford retrieved the gun from his bedroom and shot one of his siblings, then chased the other two in the bedrooms and shot them too. Besides Father Halliford, the other two victims were treated and released from the hospital. The identities of the victims and the nature of the wounds have not been disclosed. The Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office also did not explain Williams' relationship to Halliford or the role she is accused of playing in the shooting and escape from the scene, but said both suspects were captured after a canine team began searching for them in the woods.
Wow.
Yay, doggies.
That's, it's pretty close to home for us and Mobile Stomping Grounds, Hammond, and of course Ponchatoula and all that. And yes, we said in the words correctly, Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office, Ponchatoula, you can't work
Tangipahoa Parish every time.
You can't even say it.
I'm on the 55.
Yeah, like me on sodium.
I'm holding back my pronunciations for this setup that you guys have planned for later in this episode. So I'm not going to pronounce.
We should have just did any a mic. Alert news and then
Cajun
the
stuff
rural
for you guys until then.
Well, I hate to hear that. Another tragic shooting, and it's crazy. I don't understand.
Yeah, you shoot a priest.
We'll hear more.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they were all doing at the trailer park, but I guess we'll find out. And anyway, so
not good.
Take you to another one. Now, this one's a little bit crazy. In Kentucky, guy shot his roommate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That happens. I mean, people shoot each other and stab each other, whatever. And the roommates sometimes, I say, there's no quicker way to kill a friendship than to become roommates.
Yeah.
Then you find out who's eating whose food out of the ice box or not, stealing their clothes or whatever. Well, this guy is behind bars after authorities claim he shot his roommate. Okay. Well, yes. Why did he shoot him?
Why?
He shot him because he ate the victim's last hot pocket.
He deserved it.
Oh, that's justifiable homicide.
The victim ate his last hot pocket.
Yeah, that's justifiable homicide.
So I don't know about that. I had a murder. A murder one time where a deaf mute guy shot his brother for eating the last mayonnaise sandwich. But anyway, Clifton E. Williams, 64, Louisville, was arrested Sunday on one count of assault for the shooting that wounded his roommate during an alleged argument over the microwavable food item being the hot pocket, y'all. Williams became upset when he learned his roommate had apparently eaten the last hot pocket and started throwing tiles at him. The roommate reportedly tried to leave, but Then Williams went back inside the shared home, grabbed a gun, and shot his roommate in the ass.
Right where it needed to be. Yeah.
The roommate told investigators he sought help a few blocks away. I guess he could run with that bullet in his ass. Police said the unidentified victim was taken to the University Hospital, where he was treated for 9 life-threatening injuries. Williams, who was arraigned on assault charge Monday morning, was ordered to have no contact with his roommate and not to possess any firearms or other weapons or eat Hot Pockets. No, I just added that part. The Nestle company, the maker of Hot Pockets, has just announced a new What Would You Do for a Hot Pocket promotion, where consumers can post their videos showing what they'd do for a Hot Pocket to win a year's supply of these tasty treats. Rumor has it Clifton has already submitted his entry.
And I bet he wins.
I mean, it's pretty.
I won't even enter now. I was thinking about jumping in there.
You like Hot Pockets?
I love Hot Pockets.
Yeah, I've only had them a couple of times. They come with a little white sleeve on it. Is that
That's right.
Hot Pocket? Yeah.
Lots of different flavors now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not
that
as good.
Pepperoni.
Not as good as Hello Fresh.
Ham and cheese.
Not as good as Hello Fresh on Bloody Angola 16.
Yeah, that's 16 right.
16.
No, meals. I did those flautas the other night. Have you guys had those yet?
Yeah, yes. My wife will ride your ass about how you week. Said that.
What, flautas? What
anytime I flautas? Say fajitas flautas. Or flautas or anything like that, my wife comes back with it.
What's the right?
I have no idea.
It's flautas.
I say it the way I say it.
Okay, well,
I've been in training for you. I've been training for your shit for years.
I almost got in a punch out with the voice activated thing in Rosetta Stone last night over a pronunciation of an Italian word.
Because I wasn't here for that episode, and thank you all for covering it. The when you said you asked for English, did you say the King's English? Because it used to be the Queen's English, but she'd be dead. And now it's the King's English.
I don't think there's a form of...
That's because you don't know.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
We'll go with that.
We'll find out in Rosetta Stone.
What do you think the most popular flavor of Hot Pockets is?
Ham and cheese.
I know.
The ham and cheese? I think
I'm eating
pepperoni.
Like
I'm going to have to look at that.
Must have been really high or drunk. You know,
I mean, I think that's completely justifiable. That guy's going to get off. Let's go to Florida.
Florida.
Sunny Florida.
To Florida, to Indian River County in Florida, where law enforcement officials foiled a major escape plan from a millionaire who's housed in a prison down there.
Huh. El Chapo?
It was not El Chapo. At least I don't think he goes by El Chapo. They got a warning from somewhere. They got a little whisper that an inmate at the county jail by the name of John Manchek, who's 78 years old, was working on a plan to escape custody. Now, Manchek is kind of a unique prisoner because he's a rich guy.
Yeah.
He's like Mike.
As in, no, he's a real rich guy. So, he got arrested back in 2014 on child pornography charges.
Oh,
and so he's been, he's kind of like the poor man's Jeffrey Epstein, this guy, but he still got pretty rich being the poor man's Jeffrey Epstein. So while in jail, he met a guy by the name of Byron Harvey, another guy by the name of Kerry Shepherd, and Harvey was allegedly placed on Manchek's payrolls, again, multimillionaire. So investigators learned that Manchek paid Harvey's bond so that he could be released. He also paid Shepherd another way because he was already released, so they could plan this escape from the outside.
Right. So they can go to Waffle House?
So there are two. I don't think these people were headed to the Waffle House. Two other folks were also listed as co-conspirators that were also employees of a company controlled by Manchek, which is called Aeroshade. According to the sheriff's office, Manchek planned to put his escape plan into action with a scheduled doctor's appointment. So he would need to go to the doctor. They would have to take him out of the prison. And once he was on his way out of the jail, Shepherd was allegedly going to notify Harvey, and the co-conspirators' plan included intercepting the transport vehicle as it arrived at the medical facility, with Harvey and another person assaulting the corrections department deputies, freeing Manchek, and then fleeing to an undisclosed location. The team planned to use several vehicles during the escape, including a truck and a van, all paid for by Manchek. The final plan was to flee to France, where Manchek owns a castle called Chateau de Petrigal, which we have a lovely
pedophile.
We have a lovely Chateau de
Well, if he's got some castle, he might be as rich as Epstein.
No, Epstein's townhouse is nicer than this castle, in my opinion. Yeah. But
it's still a castle.
But you know, if you're that rich and you have a castle like this.
It might show in a castle, y'all.
You might. We'll show you this castle, but you might choose a little bit more wisely on your accomplices, I think. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like he had money to go a little bit heavier on his accomplices. So after more than a 2-month investigation, detectives were able to stop the escape plan. So now Manchek and the others face charges in connection to conspiring the escape plan. Manchek was charged with attempted escape, is being held on $250,000 bond. Harvey was charged with criminal conspiracy and unlawful use of two-way communication. His bond was set at $150,000. DeMoya, the other two were obviously also charged. This guy had a G5 waiting at the airport.
Right.
And
shit, he's got some money.
So he had this. Seems like a really solid plan here.
Right.
France probably wouldn't have extradited him to the U.S. He could be living happily back in his castle, but there was a rat somewhere. We don't know who the rat was.
Yeah.
But somebody ratted out this plan. Otherwise, it seems like the officers might have been unprepared for this.
You're right. He's not as rich as you because you have a G7, right? He has a G5 waiting on him.
I have a car. I don't believe it's a G7. And I only fly Frontier because I can bring my emotional support snake on board with me.
That was a good story I did the other day with that. I saw the video where that dude whipped that dude's ass with a snake in the street.
Slanging that thing, man.
He's laying down the
cruelty to a python.
Right.
It was indeed. All right. A Maryland father has died after sustaining life-ending injury. After sustaining life-ending injuries while defending his children after a schoolyard fight took a dark turn. Christopher Wright.
Crazy. That's how I read this guy.
Yeah, Christopher Wright, 43, met two adults and three teens who approached his home on Friday around 5 p.m. and assaulted him when Wright refused to let them speak with his fiance's son. The boy, 14, had gotten in a fight at middle school with another teen, and they wanted to continue the fight after school, but Wright told them he was not going to let them fight with the boy. His fiance, Tracy Karapshinsky, said, hey, I like that, said that the suspects had turned their attention on Wright, telling him that if the boy would not fight, they would fight with him instead. Police responded.
Such class, right?
Yeah. Police responded to calls of an assault and arrived on the scene shortly after 5 p.m. that day to find Wright had already received treatment from county fire department personnel. Responders then rushed Wright to a local trauma center for treatment, and he had life-threatening injuries. He succumbed to those injuries and died about 9:45 p.m. Saturday and was pronounced dead at the hospital. His cause of death was listed as traumatic brain injury.
Yes, indeed.
Police said they are treating the incident as a homicide.
It is a homicide.
And have asked anyone with information to contact them. The police said anyone who assisted or abetted or was an accomplice of the main suspect or the primary suspect will be culpable. Just looking at the damage, that wasn't punching that did that. Not just punching, Tracy said. Like, there's no way that punching did that. The damage was done before the ambulance ever took him away. He had a seizure. It was done, she added. There was nothing the hospital could do.
Yeah. Well.
So this guy's basically doesn't want his kid to fight anymore. Where he screwed up was he said, y'all fight me, not him. Yeah.
Well,
shut the door, man. Go inside and watch Family Feud and don't worry about it.
This is exactly why I own firearms. Because I'm not fighting five people or however many people. If you're going to show up my house and try to get my kids shit, you're going to spring a leak.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, there's another podcast with a Navy SEAL that I watch, and his best advice for any fight, if it's one-on-one, whatever, is run.
Exactly. That's the oldest defense.
And he's a Navy SEAL. He probably kill half of them.
Or put the fucking gloves on, and don't write me on this, but Fight Club at school. Yeah. Again, put the gloves on, go to your separate corners, fight it out, best person win, and that's it, and it's over.
When I was a kid,
not worth it.
Like a kid, probably 11, 10, 9 years old, whatever. If I got into this fight, and even if I got my ass whooped, it was okay as long as I didn't back out of the fight. Right? Mm-hmm. My dad beat my ass if I came out.
Yeah, but back then they didn't shoot you.
Right.
And as now, quick nowadays, as they'll
catch you. The whole fucking family's coming after this dude, this 14-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, the 14-year-old probably got the best of them in a straight-up fight, and now they're like, oh, shit, we're going to go in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, and what did the school do about any of this?
All of this aspect of it happened after the fact. You know, this was at the guy's house, so.
But he's saying right, the 14-year-old got in a fight
at school. But if this happened in school, then you de-escalate by calling in the parents and having a discussion with everyone there about what happened, and then you put the gloves on them, put them in a ring, and let them have at it and declare somebody the winner.
I don't know. Don't get it, but hey.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she preferred to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
and bring y'all an update on the story we brought y'all first last week. This is crazy when y'all, I was listening to it again this weekend. It's just absolutely crazy. New Mexico police released a photo of the note found on the body of an 18-year-old Bo Wilson, who authorities say shot and killed three elderly women.
The grandmas, yeah, right, the 97.
At random before deliberately taking off his bulletproof vest and ultimately getting killed by the responding officer. Farmington Police Department also revealed that Wilson had amassed a cache of weapons and ammunition at the home he shared with his father. Law enforcement found approximately 1,400 rounds of ammo stored, as well as 10 other firearms of varying caliber scattered throughout the home. These weapons, accessible to Wilson, did not belong to him. Police also revealed that although Wilson had been wearing a bulletproof vest when he first opened fire from his home, he deliberately removed the vest prior to his encounter with the police and as he was walking down the street towards the church. At the press conference, the police chief said that Wilson had been wearing what appeared to be a modified vest with steel plates that had a note found in the pocket. Do y'all know about the steel plates in the vest? That's for high ballistic rounds, for like rifle rounds. You have a regular bulletproof vest, which can sustain up to a pistol round. But I know that from the SWAT. You had put those plates are like 20 fucking pounds each. So I don't know where he got that from anyway, but so he'd been wearing the modified vest and he had a note found in the pocket, handwritten in green lettering. The message said, "If you're reading this, I'm the end of the chapter.
Uh-oh.
Lay eyes or dear, put a finger on my little sister. I promise there will be regrets," the note added. At the onset of the rampage, police say Wilson fired at least 176 rounds from an AR rifle just outside his home from the front porch area, but quickly dropped that weapon into some bushes, even though it still held more live ammunition. 176 rounds, 40-round magazine.
Five clips.
Right? That's so he's firing, dropping them and reloading. Yeah. So that's a long time.
And hit a bunch of houses.
Right. And then he continued firing two pistols, discarding a .22 caliber gun, and then depleting rounds from a 9mm handgun, which is probably about 16, 15 in the mag and one in the chamber. Then a final shootout with police, during which he left at least 18 rounds. Authorities said it appears that he shot indiscriminately at vehicles and bullets, struck 11 of them along with 7 homes. Slain by the shooter were longtime Farmington residents Gwendolyn Schofield and 73-year-old daughter Melody, Ivy, and 79-year-old Shirley Boita. Police are probing Wilson's access to weapons, concerns about his prior mental health, and efforts are underway to subpoena medical and school records that might shed light on the issues. Truly crazy story. I mean, most people don't live to get to be that old.
What did the second part of his note say about his sister?
Lay eyes or dear, dare.
Dare, yeah.
Maybe he probably misspelled it. Put a finger on my little sister, and I promise, because he's misspelled promise to him, there will be regrets. And it says, so maybe somebody
touched his sister. So some kind of retaliation for something that happened to his sister.
Probably somebody kissed his sister.
God, all the crazy people. As your international correspondent, it's time to leave the shores of the United States.
Just get row.
This time we're going down under.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm down with my people down under.
Good day, Mike.
Well, real life, real crime. I think that's our second or third leading country.
Second.
Third.
Is it third?
Canada's
yeah, and second. Then
the Aussie UK. And UK.
Yeah. So, Australia was a penal colony. That's how I got founded. Did you know that?
A penal?
Mm-hmm. Penal colony.
It's where they put all the prisoners.
England shipped all their indentured servants and prisoners to Australia, and it was basically a big fucking prison.
That's a long way to send them.
Well, you got to get rid of your people. Fidel Castro shipped them all to the United States. but it was a penal colony. But, I mean, that's why I believe
Tony Montana.
We have so many fans down under because it's in their roots, right? Crime.
Ah, okay. It's in their roots, and fighting crime is in their roots, right? Aussie police. I mean, fighting crime's in their. Yeah. In their who would you know, say
they don't have allow firearms? So you have to get like a really special a registered.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Aussie weapons that the police use. But who's the toughest cop you ever knew in the U.S.? If I say, is there one name that pops up as the toughest guy ever?
Kearney Foster.
Okay.
Really?
That dude was just.
No
kidding.
Badass.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to talk.
He was my bishop. You know what a bishop is?
Shout out Kearney.
Or rabbi.
He's passed now.
Yeah, he passed. Yeah. He died during COVID.
I know what polishing the bishop.
I know what burping the worm is. So a bishop or rabbi is someone who takes you under their wing, takes a rookie under their wing and brings them up.
So mentor.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay, so as tough a guy as he was. We're going down under, and so everything is inverted. I have found an officer who's the biggest pussy on the planet.
And you're that was a guy that hit at the school shooting. Mm-hmm. The school resource officer.
It's close.
Yeah,
right. It's close. So let's go down under, and let's find out about a 95-year-old Aussie woman who was tasered.
95
years old. Her name, Claire Noland. Police responded to reports that she was wandering around the home with a steak knife, knife, at about 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Miss Nolan lived in a care home in the town of Cooma, which is about 70 miles from Canberra, which is Australia's capital city. Oh, it's inland, though. Police said Nolan was armed with that steak knife, and on Friday they confirmed that she required a walker to move.
Oh, my God.
So we have a 95-year-old woman with a steak knife on a walker, but the officer discharged his taser after she began approaching him, quote, at a slow pace. New South Wales police said she died surrounded by family and loved ones. The officer who tasered Miss Noland has been charged with assault. The 33-year-old senior constable who fired the taser, who is a distant cousin of Prince Harry. He's not a distant cousin of Prince Harry, but he will face court in early July on charges of recklessly causing grievous bodily harm, assault, occasioning actual bodily harm, and common assault. He remains suspended from duty with pay while investigations continue. With pay. Yeah. Miss Nolan.
That's officially a vacation.
There's a picture of Mrs. Nolan. Lovely
sad.
Mrs. Nolan.
That's sad.
Okay.
I can't believe that.
Who suffered a fractured skull and serious brain bleed after falling and hitting her head after she was tasered. It has prompted calls for state parliamentary inquiry and the release of police body cam vision of the confrontation. Can't wait to see that body cam video
this one.
So
as you should.
Lots of tough Aussies out there. This cop was not one of two kinds of cops.
The ones that need the badge feel like a man, and the ones who do it because they love it. I've seen cops. This guy evidently is a little bitch. Although you have a 21-foot rule with knives. If someone gets within 21 feet of you, you can't use deadly force. I'm sure this guy was thinking he wasn't using deadly force.
Steak knife.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, and she's on a walker. It's not like she's going to bum rush him, right? But, I mean, he did what he did because he's a little bitch.
Yeah.
And
big bitch.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
And on another note, Billy is going to be offended that you didn't say he was the toughest cop you ever knew.
Shit. I was the toughest cop I ever knew. Those characteristics. I'm trying to think of people that are older and tougher that I had mad fucking respect
that's
for.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Billy is a pretty badass cop, though.
Yeah. All right. You know, Woody Overton, every now and then, y'all, Woody has some genius ideas. He had a genius idea that I have to give him mad props for, and that was his Mile High Crimes.
That's because every week we're covering some crazy-ass shit on a plane or an airport, right?
So we're going to get a sound for this. Maybe it'll be like, you know, you may now move about the cabin or something funny before. Yeah,
if the mask drop, then don't put your own shit on before you put it on your kid or whatever. That's pretty much
what I'm saying. Yeah. So if you have a good idea for that, send it to us. Email it to us. So we're going to get into today's Mile High Crime segment. A Boston man has been arrested and charged for allegedly attempting to open an emergency exit door.
Oh, that's a no-no.
That's a no-no. This was on United Airlines, but it gets worse than that, y'all. He then attempted to stab a flight attendant in the neck. And this was a flight from Los Angeles to Boston. Yeah. I'm waiting for Mike to say, hey, surprise me, I'm going to Boston.
It's Philly.
Boston's okay. Francisco Torres, 33, was charged with a count of interference and attempted interference with a flight crew and using a dangerous weapon. He was arrested yesterday at Boston Logan International Airport. Torres was a passenger on that United Airlines flight, and approximately 45 minutes prior to landing, the flight crew received an alarm in the cockpit that a starboard side door located between the first class and coach sections was disarmed.
Is this midair?
He went that far, huh? Okay.
It's in midair?
This is in midair. 45 minutes before they landed.
On the plane.
So the flight attendant, she goes to inspect that, right? And she finds that the door's locking handle had been moved out of the fully locked position towards the unlocked position, and that the emergency slide arming lever had been moved to the disarmed position. She reported this to the captain, and the flight crew secured the door. A fellow flight attendant reported that he had observed Torres near the door and believe that he was affecting it. Right. So they're standing there and they're trying to figure out who did this.
What a dumbass does that.
Yeah, exactly. So he approaches and asks Torres, hey man, did you mess with this door? The flight attendant then notified the captain they believed Torres posed a threat to the aircraft because he's basically looking at him like, yeah, I did. And she told the captain he needed to land as soon as possible. Shortly thereafter, Torres gets out of his seat, approaches the side door where the two flight attendants were standing. One of the flight attendants sees him mouthing off something that she couldn't hear, but she could see from his facial expression it wasn't a nice comment, right? Then Torres thrust towards one of the flight attendants in a stabbing motion with a broken metal spoon.
I was going to ask you what it was.
He hits the flight attendant in the neck area three times.
What?
Oh yeah, God. This is going on during the flight, y'all. Passengers then tackled Torres.
Beat that ass.
Oh, yeah. Look, since 9/11, anybody jumps out of a seat, I'm swinging.
Right.
So the passengers, they tackle Torres. He gets restrained with the assistance of the flight crew, and he is immediately, obviously, taken into custody upon the flight's arrival to Boston.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was he trying to take the whole plane down?
Could have been a terrorist act.
Yeah. If he was planning on opening that emergency exit door, he was wanting to kill everybody. Yeah.
That plane was
depressurized.
Whatever happened to the, and I used to want to be one, the
air marshals?
Yeah.
They still exist. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I try to figure out who they are when I fly. Yeah. I'm like, you're a freaking air marshal. You got the look.
I've been reading some stuff where maybe they've been diverted and they're not exactly those marshals aren't exactly the government's using them a little differently these days.
There's this guy, y'all, he went on Family Feud and he joked that he regretted marrying his wife, but now he's on trial for murder. The estranged wife of former Family Feud contestant suspected of her murder told her sister she feared for her life prior to her death. Timothy W. Bolafnik is accused of killing Rebecca Bolafnik in her Quincy, Illinois home earlier this year. The pair were going through a divorce at the time of the slaying. Bolafnik, 39, is charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of home invasion in connection with Rebecca's death. He has pled not guilty. And on Tuesday, witnesses for the prosecution took the stand, including one of Rebecca's sisters, Sarah Riley. Riley testified Rebecca, 41, had previously made it known she was concerned her estranged husband might end up physically hurting her. Riley said Rebecca texted her in September of 2021 If something ever happens to me, make sure the number one person of interest is Tim. I'm putting this in writing that I'm fearful he will somehow harm me. Prosecution also accused Blefnik of conducting a number of disturbing internet searches. Here we go, y'all. Clear your search history. Around the time of Rebecca's alleged murder, including instructions on how to use a crowbar to open a window. I mean, how the fuck have you got to research that? I mean, I'm not mechanical, but I can figure out how you get a crowbar to open a window. But in how to make a homemade silencer and local police response times.
Rebecca's God, people father, get busted right, every time with the crowbar searches. On a window.
Rebecca's father, William
Possel, had a screw in a light bulb.
Right, yeah, right. Found her dead on her bathroom floor after she failed to pick up her three kids from school February 23rd. 2.5 weeks later, Blefnik was charged with her murder. Prosecutors alleged he used a crowbar to break into Rebecca's second story Imagine bedroom. Now, I'm surprised he didn't look out, research how to use a ladder to get to the second story. And when he proceeded to shoot her 14 times.
Ouch.
Wow, nothing exceeds like excess. Blefnik and some of his family members were previously contestants on the game show Family Feud in an episode aired in 2020. When asked by host Steve Harvey, what's your biggest mistake you made at your wedding? Blefnik replied, when I said I did.
Damn. I bet they got silent after that.
Did they win?
But then it can continue on. Not my mistake, not my mistake. I love my wife. I'm going to get in trouble for that, aren't I?
most definitely.
The episode, you're screwed, dude.
Yeah, anyway, the trial is continuing. And another dumbass. I'm sorry about the lady getting killed. Why do they say he's charged with two counts? They said it's two counts of first degree murder. One count, maybe he killed somebody else too.
Maybe he murdered that window with the crowbar.
Yeah, yeah, right. Jeez, you can see this idiot getting a ladder to get to the second story window.
I need some crazy banjos.
Uh oh, play it.
Dumb criminals.
God, I wish that was longer. Love it. Dumb criminals for Friday. We're in Michigan, where a 20-year-old Michigan man has been charged after allegedly threatening to shoot up Woodhaven High School during a live video on social media.
Oh, that's smart.
There yes. According to police, Kenny Raymond Larkins made the threat on May 9th while on Instagram Live. Police say Larkins could be seen with and without a hood and a mask on.
Okay, right.
Really good. And appeared to be acting erratically, stating, quote, I can feel it. I am shooting up Woodhaven High School.
Jeez.
A shelter-in-place order was put in place throughout the Woodhaven Brownstone School District while authorities investigated. Police were able to quickly identify Larkins in the video, and he was arrested by Van Buren Township Police shortly thereafter. Larkins was arraigned Friday on one count of false report or threat of terrorism, a 20-year felony. He was also indicted on one count of being a complete and total effing idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
He was issued a $500,000 cash bond and ordered to wear a tether should he be released. Why would you let that guy be released even after you got $500,000? Right. I mean, come on. Yeah. Well, I mean,
in this day and age,
thank God there's a school shooter that dumb.
Right. Yeah.
This day and age, you're going to go on social media and live and say, I'm about to go shoot up a school.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I was a parent, I'd be waiting there to blow your brains out or
Idiot.
Beat your ass. Right?
Definitely a dumb criminal.
Definitely.
Deserves some banjos. For real.
All right.
Was that a do-si-do you just did?
That was a do-si-do.
Doing it down.
All right, so we've talked a lot lately about, especially the Tigerland area, Baton Rouge, right. and all the trouble that has been taking place there. For those of you that aren't from Louisiana, that's LSU area,
it is outside the gates down Nicholson. It's a large apartment community, and I had the first one behind the
college
tiger,
apartment, Joe.
And then they have the triangle of bars that are there in the front. Yeah.
That's where the whole Matty Brooks business started.
Very popular amongst the students at LSU. So
popular when I was there.
They've had another problem there since the Matty Brooks stuff went down, and a man has been arrested for an alleged rape that happened after a night of drinking in Tigerland. Back in April, this incident occurred. According to Baton Rouge police, the victim said she met Andy Lee at Fred's in Tigerland on April 1st. Yeah, everybody around here knows about Fred's. The pair consumed multiple alcoholic beverages and talked throughout the night before leaving at 2 a.m. when the bar closed. The victim told police the next memory she had was waking up in Lee's bed naked, and he was attempting to have sex with her. The victim said when she woke up, she had no memory of going to Lee's home, and her vagina felt sore.
Oh, Lord.
According to arrest records, the victim confronted Lee about trying to have sex with her, and Lee told her she was acting crazy, and he had no idea what she was talking about. Well, he was arrested on Monday for third-degree rape. And let's talk about third-degree rape. What is that?
That's when a person, basically like Madison Brooks was, because of your condition. You can't refuse it, right?
Yeah, so obviously she was too drunk and probably too roofied to submit, it sounds like, in this case.
A lot of these cases, the girl could wake up and they had a boyfriend, and they're like, holy shit. And I've worked a case like this where it's a false complaint, but when she asks this dude, what are you doing? He's like, why is my vagina sore or whatever? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. But she's naked in your bed. So,
he
probably did that.
Right.
So, whatever.
So, hopefully, Tigerland can get their shit together.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's been going on there forever, but it is what it is.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So, all right. I told y'all earlier about when we're talking about the Hot Pockets episode, and I had the guy who murdered his brother for a mayo sandwich. Well, this one is titled "Too Much Mayo Can Kill You." Just ask this Subway worker. I like Subway.
I do. I don't go there a whole lot. But
when I was living in Tigerland, they used to have a card. I was telling my son about this this weekend. They had the card. Every one you bought, they punched out your thing. Mm-hmm. And when you got 10 of them, you got a free 6-inch sub when you're a starving college student. That was like, the feast.
What was your favorite
when I first,
sub?
I don't even remember. Just any
like the meatball.
I don't even think they had meatballs back then. It's like 35 years ago. I think I like the Italian.
Whatever. Yeah. Mike's number eight or something. When I first saw that, I thought they meant Marta because the way that the first line of that story goes, but there's a bunch of other, you know, Jersey Mike's and these other chains out there, but they're all more, they've gotten to where they're like 14, 15 bucks for a sandwich.
Stupid. Back to our kids thing and why they should go to HelloFresh and that bloody Angola 16. I get the credit cards in. It's $29 at Subway. I'm like, how the fuck can you spend $29 at Subway?
Did he get a Hummer after that?
Well, I'm sure he's feeding all his fraternity brothers or his girlfriend. But anyway, so an Atlanta Subway, at an Atlanta Subway, a worker was shot dead after a customer opened fire following an argument over the amount of mayonnaise on his sandwich. Good Lord. On Sunday night at around 6:30, a customer ordering a sandwich at Subway connected to a gas station, which is prominent now, located in the city's downtown area, erupted into a dispute with one of the employees and opened fire. One employee was fatally wounded, another was sent to the nearby hospital. The owner of the Subway said that the disgruntled customer decided to shoot his two employees after they became angry about the amount of mayonnaise on their fast food meal. Believe it or not, it was about too much mayonnaise on the sandwich, the owner said. The store's on-duty manager reportedly returned fire at the suspect but missed. So the manager's packing. Everybody wants to carry a gun. Everybody wants to scare somebody with a gun. It's scary out here, Mr. Glenn said. Police are still investigating the shooting, reviewing surveillance video, and interviewing witnesses while they actively search for the suspect. The second victim was hospitalized but has been released.
Wow.
Too much mayo.
Too much mayo. I mean, there's got to be more to it than that, right? Or this guy's just that much of an idiot. They'd be like, yeah, because you could, I hadn't been in years, but you'd say, I want this, this, and this. And everybody said, what's the mayo? Or sure. And maybe they put it on there, and he was like, that's too much. And they might have been like, fuck you, I'll put some more on there. And then, but that's still not a reason to get shot.
No, you go back and ask him to remake the sandwich.
Yeah. I mean, and hey, the manager wouldn't have any of it either. He's blasting too. Craziness. God.
They're going to need metal detectors at all of these places before, you know, that people are going to have to walk through before they can go in. This is a story about
a man named
some
Brady.
Boys in New York, and I'm going to give a little New York feel and New York experience where I suspect some wrongdoing here, where it doesn't seem like the authorities believe there was, but. The body of an 11-year-old New York boy who went missing a week ago was found on Saturday morning in the Hudson River. This is 2 days after the body of his friend was found by police in the Harlem River. Alpha Barry was 11 and Garrett Warren was 13. They were last seen together on surveillance camera after school in Harlem on May the 12th, according to the NYPD. Warren's body was found on Thursday morning in the Harlem River near the Madison Avenue Bridge, which is like close to Yankee Stadium there.
Yeah.
So you're at the northern tip of Manhattan, and the Harlem River there is just, you know, you can hit a sand wedge over. It's like 80 yards, 100 yards. Here's what I don't get. Is I lived there for 40 years. Nobody goes swimming in the Harlem River. Nobody goes swimming in the East River. Nobody goes swimming in New York Harbor.
Not after you did.
Nobody goes swimming in the Hudson River unless you're way, way, way up river away from the city. The currents are, I mean, serious stuff in all of those rivers, and even the best swimmers are challenged, and kids don't swim in there.
I thought you were going to say it's because of pollution, because after your dirty ass got in the water.
Oh, that was Cleveland when the Cuyahoga River was set on fire. Yeah. So they're treating this somehow as accident. Like they think these kids drowned, that they just went for a swim and drowned. And I just can't believe, you know, police are saying foul play wasn't suspected and a final cause of death hasn't been declared. Look, there are all of these crazy people running around New York City. We saw a woman thrown into a subway 2 days ago who ended up being crippled as a result. We obviously, everyone knows the story of the guy who'd been arrested 44 times who unfortunately died as somebody was trying to be a good Samaritan in the subway a week before. There are homeless. There are people who are drug addicts, and they've also got all of these illegals who have been brought to New York City, 30,000 or so, who are spread through hotels around the city. Something happened to these boys. Boys don't just go diving in these in the rivers to swim. And where they're talking about, they must have been together and it happened together, because where the bodies are found is not that far, that far apart. And I'm telling you, I just don't believe they went for a swim.
Certainly it's gonna be investigated, but if they have
if somebody just tossed them in the water, they're not gonna know.
Yeah that's true. Maybe they couldn't even swim. But, I mean, it'd be really hard to hold two kids underwater one time and drown them unless it was multiple people.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have to hold them up. All you'd have to do,
say in the water is that bad,
is throw them, is throw them in. And to your point, a lot of city kids
don't know how to swim.
There's not a whole lot of public pools, you know, some families don't have the wherewithal to go to the beach. They may not have been able to swim at all. Don't know, but I just smell a big rat with that story.
Horrible for those families. I can't imagine.
Well, you know, and one thing we haven't heard today is, just when I was thinking about the kinkiest of kinky. Kinky crime.
Kinky crimes for Friday.
Hit me with it, Woody. I'm ready to get kinky.
All right, so.
You guys want me to leave?
Yeah.
I can go out for a couple minutes. I don't want that. I don't want that anaconda on film.
So look, in Oklahoma, authorities arrested a guy for digital indecent exposure after he sent naked photos of himself to strangers.
Hey.
All right. I don't really know how that's a crime.
Well, let's figure it out.
The Tulsa Police Department said officers responded to a call from an apartment complex for a report of indecent exposure.
Uh-oh.
The employees of the apartment complex said the suspect, identified as Stacy Jack Helm, arrived at the complex to apply for an apartment.
Mm.
So the appointment, let me read this to you again. The employees of the apartment of the complex said the suspect had arrived at the complex to apply for an apartment. Okay, now I get it. While Helm was sitting at the computer filling out the application, employees told officers they received two airdrop notifications where another iPhone was attempting to send photos.
Uh-oh.
Employees said they were curious about the contents and accepted the airdrop request.
I bet they were.
They told police the airdrop photos they received were of Helm, the guy that's applying for the apartment, naked in front of a mirror, as well as photos of his genitalia. I mean, unless he's holding his hairy bubble gum, I don't know how it was his. They knew it was his. But Helm was then arrested for indecent exposure. And police recommend that you set your airdrops to where you can only receive from contacts only. Now, let's think about that. Maybe he had it in his airdrop thing and butt dialed it.
A good lawyer could probably get him out of this. Might have been a total accident. This dude might have been as embarrassed as they were. But
they might have been smoke shows.
But they still have to accept it, though.
They still have to accept it, which they did. And look, y'all.
Oh well, there you have proof. So
I am going to definitely upload this dude's mugshot on the Facebook page. Yeah. You have to see this guy.
I'm thinking if I saw anything from him, I'd.
Brad Pitt, he is not.
Yeah, oh, come on. Be fair to the guy.
No. Oh, no. Do you look as him for one is going to come out?
I think this very good chance that they thought it was this guy. We're hoping it was this guy, and that's why they opened the airdrops.
They said it was him in front of a mirror, and then they said they saw his junk. So,
yeah.
Sometimes the little head's a lot more attractive than the big head.
Right? But, hey, it might be – a new pickup tactic. Think about it. You know, it's like the guys will walk. Yeah. The guy walked up to people with the shoes. 99 times out of 100, it's not going to work. That one time.
That's it. So, ladies, be careful about the airdrops you accept.
Your shit off if you want to see Mike's junk.
Yeah. Jack and the Beanstalk is always safer.
Burping the worm.
That was a good one.
Thank you, John.
We're going to upload that picture, y'all, to Facebook for sure. Yes.
Another
kinky crime.
I want you to know I have not signed any kind of a release on this next segment. I've not given permission to be treated this way. I don't know what this is.
Y'all?
Yes. Payback's a motherfucker.
First, it's handwritten, so I'm going to have to read.
Let me tell y'all what's going on here. So we've got a game for Mike. Now, what y'all don't ever see is our kind of pre-planning for these episodes. Yeah. So as most of you have probably figured out by now, Mike tries to be a little slick about sneaking stories in there.
Everything from Earth Day to the rules.
That's right. But we're democratic around here. And hey, you know, the good thing is we got an odd number of people, so we have a quorum. Right. And so it's a yay or nay
on whether those stories. So you're co-conspirators
on this. Yeah.
wanted to make sure I was
what do you might agree with you and agree, not me
I,
on something?
I agree. To be co-conspirators, because payback's a bitch.
Okay, so you
just stick shit in together there that we don't even know about.
Do yeah. Okay. Mike put in a story the other day on golf, and he steals the show, and it becomes a crime.
I heard that.
Stole the PGA?
Oh, did you see the response on Facebook about that?
You guys see certain things that you want to see, and then
of course.
I have the real pulse my story. Of the pulse of the people.
Yeah, and the pulse of not. So have the pulse of everybody, but real life, real crime listeners.
So what we've decided to do, y'all, is we've come up with a game for Mike, and this is kind of in honor of our new sponsor, which is
Rosetta Stone.
And
really cool
they pledged to teach Woody English.
That's right.
Teaching me the King's English.
So we're going to call this Cajun Connection. And what we're going to do is I have on flashcards here. I know y'all can't see, but I have a last name in Cajun that all Mike has to do is pronounce this last name. I have 10 of them.
Right.
If Mike gets 8 right. 8 out of 10. And these are common.
Okay,
these are
in what game we've played, have either you or Woody ever gotten 8 out of 10 right?
A couple.
80% is a C. Yeah. So we're only asking.
80% is actually a B minus, but. but
when I was in school, it was a C. They've dumbed it down now.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is 80%, 8 out of 10. But if you get 8 out of 10, you get what we're going to call the veto power. So because Woody and I might veto some of your stories sometimes, you get the power to veto or veto and do any story you want.
Oh, my
God. If you get 80%.
Jim Chapman must really be sure about these.
Woody's open. Now, I haven't figured out because me and Woody have not conferred yet on what we get if you don't get 80%.
Yeah. We get to...
But what I will tell you is it's not a trap, and every single one of these names is very common here in Louisiana. Right. So I'm going to spell it out.
You cannot use your AI bullshit to try to
do I have any technology in my hands?
You don't need anything?
No technology
fair, and Jim will be fair on, because I can promise you I know how to spell it.
I'm going to participate in this.
I haven't even looked at them, but I can promise you I know how to spell
it. I'm going to refer you to the actual contract and that none of this shit matters, but let's listen to... this bullshit.
And so I'm going to spell out the word so y'all can follow along. If you're somewhere you can write it down.
So you're showing,
I'm going to show you the word and I'm going to spell it for the listeners. The first one I'm showing him, y'all, is Gauthier.
One of my first girlfriends.
Gauthier.
Say it again.
Gauthier.
Gauthier.
Well,
That's one.
It's a rather famous designer.
We're talking about Louisiana.
Differently.
Yeah. All right. Hey,
okay. Don't feel bad because you're incompetent.
Here's your next one.
Go shit.
I'm showing him.
Go F yourself.
I'm showing him T-R-A-H-A-N.
I had a roommate at USL. Scott was his first name and a fraternity brother. I know what you're going to say, but it's not going to be right.
I know, which is why I'm not saying. Train.
Treha. Or you could say it the way Woody just said it.
Treha. Even it ends in an N.
All right, we're gonna knock it down to you only have to get 70%.
Shit, he's already there.
I'm gonna try to find.
And these are like the easiest.
All right.
Yeah. No, all this is doing is proving that this is a language of illiteracy.
I had another roommate, Pratt, who runs a casino in the other side of Louisiana now.
That
Pratt
should be Doucette.
Yep, that's we'll give him that.
Actually, you give him that.
Yeah,
because it can be Doucette, but Doucette is even more Cajun. Doucette too. But we'll give you that one.
I got one.
This one you got to get.
Didn't really give
this one you got to get. All right, y'all. I'm showing him LEBLANC.
Come on, bro.
LeBlanc.
Nope.
LeBlanc. CSI.
What?
LeBlanc.
The CSI.
Not LeBlanc.
I bought my house
so you can't miss anymore from here on out.
All right.
This is such idiotic.
C-O-R-M-I-E-R.
Very good.
Oh, you got it, Cormier.
I had another fraternity brother with that last name.
All right.
Cormier. Keith Cormier.
D-E-L-A-U-N-E.
I'm giving high fives to Jim on this one.
Delaney.
DeLon.
It's all in the pronunciation.
So
okay, that one wasn't that far. Okay, so.
It doesn't matter. You got to get it correct.
I'm not able to use any reasoning
here because there's no pronunciation police. This is our turn to get it back.
We'll go through the rest real quick just to see.
I know Karen Ortolano's died.
Boudreaux. He got that right.
Got that one.
All right. This one is my wife's maiden name.
All right.
O-L-I-V-I-E-R.
I know this.
Olivier.
Very good.
Very good.
All right. You'll never get this one. G-R-A-N-I-E-R.
Grenier.
Yes, you got that one.
Very good.
What am I up to now?
Well, you've already lost too many.
This is no longer.
But it's fun.
You already lost.
We're teaching you Cajun French. L-A-B-E-T.
There's a reason Rosetta Stone doesn't offer this language, because it's not a language.
L-A.
That's right. I'm impressed. Right? I didn't think you'd get that one.
Good. You still lost.
All right.
I'm got to be close to seven now.
No.
F-O-R-T-I-E-R.
Fortier.
Very close. Forte. But I would give you that one. B A R R I L L E A U X.
Easy peasy.
Barilo.
What, say it again?
Barilo.
That's right.
You said it right the second time. You said Barilo the first time.
Yeah, but he got.
All right, we'll give it
to you. You didn't do bad. You got six out of them.
Yeah.
Let me see how many.
I'll show you the ones you missed.
You were supposed to get eight.
That was your arbitrary scoring system.
You missed DeLon. You missed Cormier.
No, I got Cormier.
Oh.
He missed Doucette.
You missed LeBlanc.
I got Doucette.
Yeah.
I got LeBlanc because you missed Gauthier.
That's four. That's 60%.
Okay,
sir.
That is the name of a French designer. I got that right. This is the name of an actor from Friends.
Yeah.
Matt LeBlanc.
Not in South Louisiana.
So during the intro, when Friends would run on television in Louisiana, they would say his name, they wouldn't say the city.
Absolutely.
It would just be Matt LeBlanc.
That's what they used to call him.
And it's okay.
LeBlanc.
It is LeBlanc. That's what I said.
He is not Cajun, though.
Mike, it's okay to be a loser.
He hates to lose.
I like competing in games that are fair.
Thank you, Jim Chapman, for whipping that one up. And we got a prize coming to us.
Still executive vice president.
We get to veto one of his stories, right? That's the prize.
Well, we veto it anyway. I was giving him the power to get the
ding 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 of breaking roll news or whatever.
Yeah. We'll give you another game next week. We broke that story, and every
yes. major newspaper, cable news channel, yeah. everyone else covered it after.
That was fun. That was great.
And look,
hey, we appreciate y'all.
I want to say we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all.
Wait a minute. I have another story.
Oh, shit. Here it comes.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I do. I want to do a little story on Jeffrey Epstein.
We're vetoing you now. Veto. Use your veto.
The Gates Epstein story is unimportant.
Thank y'all so much for liking and listening and sharing.
That's because Woody has been to Epstein Island. He and Bill Clinton went in 2006. The Lolita Express.
Thank y'all very much. For liking and sharing, please continue to do so. Yeah. Our numbers are great.
Thank you for interacting on Facebook, too.
Yes.
We love it
when y'all ride Mike's ass.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And so keep doing that. Mike have, I think, one fan out of millions.
One and a half. She's pregnant.
And she has an Italian last name, right? Or a surname. But thank you so much. And I'm blessed to be here with these guys. We're blessed to get to do what we do.
Amen.
We couldn't do it without y'all. I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Go to Corporal Sean Kelly's benefit on June 3rd if you get a chance. And thank you so much.
Yep. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
You're the loser.
Your host of
Under Protest.
Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Shabusiness.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.